weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
Good afternoon, or good evening, depending on whether you're listening to this on Sunday afternoon, on this fine Sunday afternoon, a little bit windy, I must say, or you're listening to it on Saturday night. This is John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts, and this is the Alphabet Soup. How are you, big Kel?
Ho, ho, ho.
Before we ho, 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 I just listened to the intro there. That girl, can you play that bit with just the girl? Not all the music, just their voice. Has anyone ever seen it? I just like the way she goes, he's bitch. That sounded a little bit.
I've seen her, and see, we have a couple of voiceovers.
Yeah.
And they're not always based here. Well, they're not based here.
Yeah.
And one of them is also the voice of the London Underground.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that, did you? Now, I'm not too sure if it's her or the other one, because they all kind of sound the same. When he put that work voice on that, hey, you're listening to John Bishop.
I like that.
Same one who's telling you that you're getting off at Charing Cross.
I'm getting off up here. Hey, easy.
Throw some water.
No, I tell you what, no, it's just, I've never noticed it before. I've never really listened. I just thought, well, that was nice. That was nice. I could have it on my ringtone. Well, hello. He's Bish. He's not here. But sometimes you get that with voices, don't you? You get certain voices that you think, oh, that's pleasant. That's pleasant and attractive.
Quite easy on the ear.
Yeah, quite easy on the ear. Very good, very good. I don't know if I've ever told you this. Brilliant story about a mate of mine who did a voiceover for, I think I told you, he did the, you know, the instructions for Dell computers when you get a computer.
Right.
And his brother, wasn't him actually, there's his brother. And his brother did the thing, you know, he's an actor and he got this job a year or so before. And where he read the instructions of what to do when you get a Dell computer. And then about a year later, he buys a Dell computer and he gets the CD to set it up and he puts the CD in it and he hears him telling him how to set up his computer. How freaky is that?
Well, if he's already sat there and read them all anyway, I know, yeah, but he already know already.
Yeah, but he didn't
didn't he?
It was just words, wasn't it? It was just words. I can't possibly believe that everybody who does a voiceover for an advert actually believes or knows the stuff to do with the car or whatever it is.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of a famous person who's done a voiceover for an advert, but I can't at the moment. I can't. I got asked to go. Have you seen that Holland and Barrett advert? That's on at the moment, where one of them goes, hello, Mr. Holland. Hello, Mr. Barrett. It's like your health food thing.
Oh, yes. There's one in Liverpool, isn't there? Yeah, Whitechapel.
And they've got these two fellas, characters, one being Mr. Holland and one being Mr. Barrett. Right. And I actually got sent by my agent for the audition for that advert. And I said, so I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. She said, well, go. It would be a good thing to do. And I turned up. And honest to God, it was one of the oddest things I've ever done in my life. Because they were saying, what we want you to do is we want you to audition to be Mr. Barrett. And I said, well, who's Mr. Barrett? They said, well, there isn't really a Mr. Barrett. He doesn't exist. It's the name of the company. But we want you to be Mr. Barrett. And he's been in business with Mr. Holland for 25 years. But there's a bit of tension between them. So you've got to wind them up. I'm going, okay. So you want me to wind him up? I've been with him for 25 years. He's getting on my nerves. He said, yeah. He said, so this bit, I want you to be up a ladder, stacking some vitamins on a shelf. And then I want you to say, so you're late, Mr. Holland. That was it. So I had to go up and go, and I had to pretend. They had a little step ladder in the studio. And I had to pretend I was putting things on the shelf. And I turned around and said, oh, so you're late, Mr. Holland. And he went, no. Remember, 25 years. 25 years he's been getting on your nerves. So I said, all right. I said, oh, so you're late, Mr. He said, no, you're not angry with him. He must have done it about five times. There's only four words. Oh, so you're late, Mr. Holland. And we're going, oh, so you're late, Mr. Oh, so you're late. So you're late. Obviously, I didn't get it. Which, thankfully, would have been the worst advert in the world.
So Mr. Barrett's a Scouser.
No, I think they've ended up. If you see the advert, you'll see how far away removed they are from me. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They've obviously looked at it and thought, there's not a chance we want somebody who's got all their own teeth with that accent. Doesn't work. So, anyway.
There's only one famous guy I can think of an advert at the minute, and it is so funny. I'm sure it's not supposed to be, but he's playing a talking dog. And it's a guy, is it Mitchell? The guy who does Mitchell and Webb. And they do Peep Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an advert for Talking Frank. It's like people who are into drugs and they want help out to get out of drugs.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
this dog. And it's so brilliant. It's a dog that just looks at you. And it's him talking as if it's the dog thinking.
But see, stuff like that, I don't know whether I'd ever do an advert. Because sometimes you see people in adverts, you think, why are you doing that? That doesn't make any... You just look daft now. Like, and people that you think are brilliant. Like I saw Paul Whitehouse doing an advert for Asda Milk, where he was on a farm milking a cow. And you think, why have you done that? You know what I mean? If you're committed, if you honestly in your heart believe Asda Milk is not getting the representation it requires, and you want to do it as a campaign, well, that's fair enough. But if somebody comes along and goes, do you fancy milk? I just don't know whether I might do. We've all got kids to feed, haven't we? So
it's down to money, isn't it?
Always down
to money.
You
know what I've never understood is that they pay these people, celebrities, thousands of pounds. But why not just pay someone who sounds like them?
An impressionist?
Well, yes. I'll just sort of just happens to sound like them.
Do you think there's a reason why they don't do that? There must be a reason. Surely there's a reason.
Oh, I don't know what it is. Well, there can't be any law saying, oh, you can't...
He's nicked
someone...
me voice.
Well, but he hasn't, because if you talk to someone who talks like that anyway, you can't have a go at someone because they sound like, you know, Michael Owen or Steven Gerrard.
Well, yeah. I know what you're saying. You need to think about that one. It's a ponder. It's a ponder, because, again, sat here... in this little confined room, we've come up with another business idea that we need to take to the world. Impressionist.
I tell you what, your career's going off in all different tangents, isn't it? Last week you was an actor.
Yeah.
Now you're a voiceover coach.
Yeah,
later on this week, you're playing darts.
If you're going to have me as a voiceover coach, we'll have you as a dietitian. You can't call me a voiceover coach. Tomorrow I'm going down to, tomorrow being Monday, I'm going down to watch the World Match Play Darts, because I'm going to do the Professional Darts Players Player of the Year do in January. So they've invited me down to go and watch the darts. And as we were saying before we got on the show, it can't be that hard. And I want to see how hard it is, because there's a chance. There's a chance, kid. Hey, with your figure and my brains, we could be a great darts player. But no, when you think about it, we were saying before, maybe it's just throwing an arrow at a board, and if you practice long enough, it looks like it could be easy, but so does golf. So do loads of things. They look easy. So I'm interested to see what it's like. I'm interested. So that's where I'm going to. We've gone completely off the tangents here. This wasn't the way we were meant to start the show. All because I sort of got slightly attracted to that lady's voice. Now, what we were meant to start the show is to explain to everyone, this is the Alphabet Soup. This way, me and Kelvin pick a letter of the alphabet and have a chat about it. However, this week, I think, requires a festive theme.
Really?
I think so. Because...
this actually is our Christmas show today. Because the next show will be after Christmas.
It'll be after Christmas, yeah.
So... We've approached this a totally different way, haven't we?
We have, and as a producer, I completely blame you. I think it's your job to set this show up, to sit me down and say, this is the agenda of the day, to maybe consider with some forethought what we're about to put into it. Although, I'll give you a break, because I know you've been off.
Yes. What have you,
tell the listener what you've been doing.
Tiling. Tiling my bathroom. It's been the longest job. Anyway,
how big's the bathroom?
You know what? It took ages less time to build his wall. It's taken ages.
You've been tiling that bathroom since I met you.
The bathroom, right? No word of a lie, is about the size of the studio, up to about here.
Well, for anyone listening, that's probably, I don't know, what's that? 6 foot? Is it 6 foot by 10 foot? Something like that.
I'm playing some Christmas music to make us sound festive.
Oh, well, you haven't got earphones
on. Put your cans on, son. Here we go.
Oh, hang on. Well, let's sort of start again.
Ho, ho, ho. What, the whole show?
No, well, let's get into the...
All right, hang on a minute. Let me just cue that up and do that and do that.
Sorry, they won't notice.
I know, I'll edit that bit out.
Hello, and welcome to the Christmas edition of Alphabet Soup.
Ho, ho, ho.
With jolly Mr. Kelvin Roberts.
Ho, ho, ho.
And happy Mr. John Bishop.
Hee, hee, hee.
Wishing you all a happy, festive, alphabetical Christmas this year. How are you, Kelvin? I must say that's a mighty fine sweater and scarf you've got on. You're looking jolly happy there with your brandy snaps and your shortbread and...
Ho, ho, ho.
And the way that you say ho, 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 I think rings across the whole of the northwest of Merseyside and little children and doggies all of a sudden feel happier. Having heard Kelvin Roberts' ho, ho, ho. The kind of ho, ho, ho that only a man who's got the spirit of Christmas flooding through his veins can possibly produce.
I love Christmas.
I know you do.
Thank you.
You've got a whole range of these, haven't you?
I've found loads here. I haven't played it for years.
You found it in your file. So you have a subsection in your file that says Christmas happy sound for Kelvin. You know what we need to do? You need to get all of this and find a way of just putting it in people's heads. You know, just because I'm not sure the credit crunches people have been moaning about it. I'm not sure people have embraced Christmas like we normally do. And you don't need to spend a lot of money at Christmas. It doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter, does it, Kelvin?
Not at all. I've got any.
Although this year, probably more than any other year, it is the giving more than the receiving. So everyone's just saying, look, just give me stuff. I obviously don't enjoy the receiving of the stuff you're giving me, which is why I've took it on myself to be the receiver. You can just go and spend all your money because we're all skint. Have you got another Christmassy theme? That's a cracking sound.
Like this one.
Where's that from?
Is it some?
It's from a film or something.
And it's Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist.
How happy is this?
No.
Home Alone.
I don't know.
Sounds like a Western. Is there a Western with the Christmas theme?
It sounds like a bit of a waltzy sort of. It's lovely, though. It's lovely.
I mean,
I'm looking forward to Christmas this year because I'm not working as much as I normally do. I'm having a bit of a chill. We're going to go away for a bit. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And it's going to be nice and relaxed. And there's a buzzing in the air.
Turn your phone off. How many times do we have to tell
you? I know. But it's Christmas. Santa might be phoning me up. So, if we're going
to
do an alphabet...
Thank you for the gig.
Yeah.
Here you go, elves.
Yeah.
Thank you for your hard work. Yeah. Here he is. He was nearly Mr. Barrett, but it's Mr. Bishop.
Yeah, your end-of-year Christmas party. I can imagine him pulling me to one side saying, listen, I've booked you for the elves, but no jokes about height. Just leave the height and don't mention the ears. They're really sensitive. They go mad. Like, what's his name? Mick McManus. Now, you won't know who that is, but I've said something there which has flooded the minds of certain individuals who remember Mick McManus. Mick McManus was a wrestler and you couldn't touch his ears. He used to go mad. When on World of Sports with Dickie Davis, and they used to have, hello, grappling fans, welcome to the wrestling. They used to have Mick McManus, and I can't remember if he was from Doncaster or somewhere, and his thing was you couldn't get his ears. And every now and then, I remember Giant Ice Stacks getting them once and just rubbing his ears like mad. Rubbing his ears and all the old dears with their handbags going, yeah, get him, because he was a baddie. But really, I've just realised he was actually a secret elf. So, Christmas is here. That's a good word. Elf.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was a cue for you to play some music, but you did that then.
That's not a Christmas song.
Isn't it?
Hang on a minute. What was that? How funky is Christmas in your house?
Let it kick in.
There's someone playing the bottles.
And the spoons by the sounds of it as well.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's like a kind of cheating fan on a cheat compilation, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
you get
four
CDs for £4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, the other thing as well, I've got to tell you this.
Go on.
Because I was in Belfast on Friday. And what people need to understand is we do come into this studio and we do generally ramble on. And I've, in all honesty, I've no idea how it comes across. But there's certain things that get said in this studio that are obviously not rehearsed. And you think, oh, all right, well, that's mildly amusing. I might try that. And remember the thing that we did the other week, and you, when you were doing the ads, you said, oh, I'm gonna put this in the promos. And it was the thing we were discussing, Sprouts.
Sprouts?
Yeah, Sprouts. I don't know if you've got it.
Hang on a minute. Just keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. We were discussing.
Hang on, I've got it.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it. Now, I'm not entirely against Brussels sprouts, but if they were that good, we'd eat them more than on Christmas Day. It's like an angry cabbage of Brussels sprouts, isn't it? You know, like you get a little fella with a skinhead who wants to kick off with you, and you look at a cabbage. You know the cabbage wouldn't want to have a fight with you, but you look at the Brussels sprouts on the plate and they're all looking at you as if they're going, go on, eat me! Go on, have a go! Go on! You don't get with cabbage. Cabbage sort of says, I'm cabbage, eat me.
What, for the archives?
Yeah, yeah, no, nice, nice, but so when we did that, you played, I thought, oh, actually, that's fairly amusing, that discussion of Brussels sprouts. So I was doing this gig at the Opera House in Belfast. On Friday. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll just keep the whole gig about Christmas, the whole theme, the whole nativity stuff, all stuff, all about Christmas. And I thought, I'll mention the Brussels sprouts. Now, I've never mentioned that before, only to you. And you laughed. And I've got to realise that you're not representative of the whole country, because I'm stood on this stage. I'm stood on this stage and the gig's going well. And I said, and another thing, hey, Christmas dinner, Brussels sprouts, what's all that about, eh? And you looked at me, I said, well, you know, you look at sprouts, they're like little angry cabbages, aren't they? Now, and there's 700 people looking at me going, and I said, you know, Brussels sprouts, come on, we all know. And I said to them, I said, you know, Brussels, you know what I said? I said, let's be honest, who eats Brussels sprouts if it's not Christmas Day? And 700 people went, well, we did, to be honest. I just thought, and what's worse is I started making it worse, because I was going, you eat Brussels sprouts, do you? And he said, yeah. I said, don't you find them like little fellas, little skinheads? Oh, go on, eat me. And they go, no, we like them. And then I just thought, oh, did me? I said, I forgot, I'm in Ireland. I knew you had to make do when you had no spuds.
Oh!
And I thought, that'll turn it round.
So as you walked off stage at the sound of your own.
Well,
feet.
The problem is, as I should have known, you can sort of make reference to things like the potato famine in Southern Ireland, because in Southern Ireland it was a realistic thing, but in Northern Ireland, because the room is split between the sort of Scottish Irish, as it were, the Protestants and the Catholics, some of them were getting spuds. Some of them weren't getting spuds. So all I did was reignite the tension in the room. So I put the peace prospects back another 20 years all by myself, just because I thought what you laughed at would have been funny in the minds of everyone else.
Oh, my word, that's the way you open the maze.
I know. It was one of those moments where I thought, Kelvin, I'm probably funny enough.
Oh, no.
Next time, let's test it on someone else. It was funny, though. It was a good gig. Good gig. But also, talking about, in fact, I was talking to you about it before, and people may understand this, particularly if you've been in Belfast over a jovial time. But we left the gig, went into the Europa Hotel, and then everyone was drunk because there'd been a load of Christmas parties. And there was just an atmosphere in the hotel, in my ears anyway, there was an atmosphere based around the accent, because the Northern Irish accent can be quite abrupt and sharp. It seemed like everybody was arguing and everybody was getting louder and louder and louder, and there seemed to be this pervading almost threat of violence in the room. And then I'm there thinking, oh, I'm not sure about this atmosphere. And then somebody came and sat on our table and knocked a drink over, and I thought, I'm going to hit you. And then I thought, I am the atmosphere. I'm the one who's part of this. Oh, really odd. Really, really odd it was. And it's, I don't know whether people get that when they come to Liverpool. If you're not used to the accent. Right, I remember when I was first married to Melanie and one of my mates...
first married?
Yeah,
how many times have you been married?
Well, I...
To Melanie?
Well, I think... I regard it as two. Because we had one, and then we had a break, and then we never got remarried, but you know what I mean?
So when you have an anniversary, do you count the first marriage in the years?
No, I shouldn't say this on air. I just keep on saying we haven't really got an anniversary, though, because, you know, let's be honest. First marriage didn't really work, and we never got married the second time. That's how cheap that is. I tell you what, you're going to... No, if my mum's listening, that's not true, mum, honestly.
Sorry, mum.
Yeah.
But I mean, his mates have all got accounts of Argos because he gets married that many times. But
no, don't get married that many. I've only been married to one woman, but we had a little bit of a break, that's all. Everyone needs to do that in marriage.
Well, at least you got more than one use out of the dress.
No, we never got remarried. We just never got divorced. This has become a personal counselling session between me.
I'm very
and
confused now.
What
you
no, what happened was we were married and then we split up for a couple of years and then we got back together.
So you never divorced?
So we never divorced, no.
Right.
But that's why I regard it as two marriages.
So you had a break?
Yeah. I didn't know. I used to ace it in the first one. Yeah, but we're all happy now. We're all happy. So, yeah, anyway, that was completely off the point. But I remember when we were first married and we were doing a house up and I had one of my mates, John Hickey, doing the roof. And she hadn't met John a lot. She obviously knew him quite well, but she hadn't met him a lot. So she hadn't been used to the way we communicate. And there was, I remember standing at the bottom of our house. And he was doing the roof, and he was up the roof with a lad called Paul Christie. And they're both from our estate, both people I've known all my life. So I'm stood at the bottom of the house, and I'm shouting up to them about the roof, and then they're shouting down information to me. And I walked away, and she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Why?" She said, "What were you arguing about?" I said, "We weren't arguing. That's how we talk. That's how we sound." So I may well be doing a disservice to the people of Northern Ireland, thinking everybody's arguing just because they sound like they were. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, actually.
I like the ho-ho-ho. Is that you?
Ho-ho. Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. That sounds a bit cheap, actually. I don't like that one.
Sounds cheap?
Yeah, I think. There's too many of the old bells.
Yeah. That one. You don't want too many bells, do you? You know what I mean? That really ruins Christmas. That. How many times have I thought, Christmas would have been great, but too many bells. So, it's John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts, we're back with... I don't even think we should call this show Alphabet Soup anymore because we ignore the alphabet virtually, consistently throughout it. Mm. And all we end up doing is having a chat.
But it's the platform for what we offer. Yeah. I mean, today we're talking about E.
E. So far we've mentioned the word elf.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other... Think of another word, then, yeah.
Right.
You're the producer. Think of another way, beginning with day, that's got something to do with Christmas. Come on.
All right.
Come on.
I'm thinking.
Come on.
Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Yes.
That's just terrible. All right, then, Christmas
Eve. You can't take that away from me.
Yeah, but it's not good, is it? I was thinking, there must be something else. There must be something else that begins with A that's got something to do. You know, I mean, Eucharist, but we can't really... That's not going to mean a lot. Well, it is going to mean a lot, obviously, to any Catholics listening, but to everyone else, it's not going to make any sense. Because the Eucharistic Mass, I think, was derived. I might be wrong, but I think the Eucharistic Mass was actually first derived on Christmas Day. But I might be wrong with that. And who's to know? Who's to know? And there's not a lot of comedy in that either.
No.
But there must be something else beginning with Eve. Eve. Something else related to Christmas.
EastEnders.
EastEnders.
There's always a special.
Don't I've done a program.
Emmerdale.
I did one of those. You know, one of those things where they get people to sit there and go, "Hey, tell us all about the top 100 Christmas specials." So I've done a programme all about the top 100 Christmas specials, and I had to watch things like The Lightly Lads and Bread, and well back. Think of another Christmas special, because I watched them all. They sent me a little CD, they sent me a DVD with all of these little clips of Christmas specials on. And then they'd say, you know, what was it like? So, and The Lightly Lads, 1976 or something that was on. So they're saying to me, I'd be in this studio going, anyway, hey, did you watch The Lightly Lads when in your house? I said, I was seven. I don't know. Did you all gather around and watch the telly? What's The Lightly Lads Christmas? I've no idea. No, I've just seen this. That's about it. I've heard of it. It was ridiculous. But, you know, it's all in the edit, son.
I've always thought about that. You know, you see these top 100, you get these, like, obviously people like yourself.
Yeah, and, very low level people who were available on that day.
I never said that. But then you always think, like, they're always going on about the clips, and you think, you must have seen it. They must have just showed you the clip. Otherwise, you wouldn't remember that clip.
You wouldn't remember it.
So obviously, they send you stuff.
I've done a few of them. I did the celebrity meltdowns. I've done another one, and I can't remember what it was for. Another Christmassy one. That's for this year. And what happens is, it's fascinating what happens, because they get you in a room or a studio or a setting, like I've done a couple in a bar and all that rest of it. And they sit you there. They point the camera at you. And they book you for like an hour, right? So your agent agrees a fee, says, look, you're in for an hour. So they think, right, we've got them for an hour. They give you one cup of water, and then they just fire as many questions as they can at you so that they can edit it, so they can just get as much as they can. And you can see on the face, like I did this Christmas, the telly Christmas specials one, and this was only a week or two ago. So, and this is a program that's on for 3 hours or something, 5 hours or whatever it is on Channel 5, whatever it is, goes on all day because it's easy telly. But what they do is they sit you there and they ask you these questions, but they've asked already 50 other people the same questions that they're going to edit. And no matter who you are, you're bound to say something other people have said. And you can see in their eyes that they're laughing at you, but they're dead in their eyes. They're dead. Because they are sick to the back teeth of talking about The Lightly Lads. You can see in their eyes they're just dead. And I'm looking at them and I've got to go, ha, ha, hey, you liked that one, didn't you? Thinking, no, you didn't, because you're dead. I'm talking to a dead telly producer. But, you know, some of them are good telly. Some of them are worth watching.
Some of them are good, but I just like to watch the clips. I don't want to see... You don't want to... Excuse me, but I don't want to see you telling me what you think.
No, you don't.
Just show the clip.
Just show the clip.
You'll have it done in 20 minutes.
I know.
Don't stretch it for three and a half
hours. They just drag it out.
Oh.
And they get... I don't even know where on the alphabetical list of celebrity you'd have to be to get. I'd say you need to be well in the bottom half, put it that way. You're a long way from A. If it was this show, you'd have to be somewhere in where we will be in this show in March, somewhere around the W area to be asked to go on to it. It's one of those things that you do thinking, well, all right, this is where I'm at.
Maybe we should do the top 100 clips of this show.
Who's going to sit there and edit it? Yeah, then we can bring
like Margie Clark. Hey, girl, I remember that clip you talked about sprouts. And it was like number 87.
Maggie's great, but I think we also need to start looking at who else we could attract. And I think the lad who plays the cardboard guitar in town, we might get him. You know what I mean? Fellow who drives the 47 bus. You know, I think the budget that this show's got, it'll end up just being me and you talking about me and you.
Maybe we'll look at that for the Easter special.
That
could be a good idea, actually. The top 20, and we can put all the sound effects in. Number 20.
If somebody wants to spend a lifetime listening to it, yeah, brilliant.
I'll see if there's any budget. It's all there anyway.
The only person I know who's listened to it all has been my mum and I, Carol. So maybe that's them.
You'd be surprised I've got archived away here.
I would be. I would be.
I mean, who can forget the one about the croissant?
You used to be able to go and get a butty, whereas they can't give you a butty now. They want to give you the ciabatta. Now, I don't mind the ciabatta, but they always insist on cooking the ciabatta. Do you know what I mean? And really, when you look at a ciabatta, it's just a butty that's been run over, isn't it? It's just a thin butty. It was a big loaf, and it's a flat loaf that's been... It's like croissants. That's another food that doesn't make any sense. Croissants. Croissants are rubbish. Everyone's saying that croissants are brilliant. Well, you need to, if you've had a croissant, have you ever tried a croissant's just an empty pasty.
See?
I'm having... Maybe I should have done that in Belfast.
The croissants.
I think in Belfast, they're obviously less sensitive about your patterns than they are over sprouts.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's the future.
Get
that's the future.
Put back over there. What
we need to do is a food-based show.
Bishop's cooking me.
Bishop's cooking
me. We got the book, couldn't we?
Yeah, Jamie Oliver's done all right by you. No, I watched him the other day on Friday. I've got to say, he's brilliant, he is.
Who, sorry?
Jamie Oliver.
Oliver? Oh,
right. I think he's... Don't you think he's great?
I don't see a lot of him, actually. I try to avoid that kind of stuff.
I know. It's probably like porn for a big eater like yourself.
That's right.
You know, a food programme's just... It is. It's pornography, and it goes, look at him messing with that duck. But he cooked a duck... I think it was no goose and a turkey for Christmas. And it was just, he's one of those where you look at and think, why aren't you my mate, Jamie? Because then all his mates come and he's at the house. You think, why haven't I got any mates like that?
I bet he's not like that at home, though, is he?
Do you think so?
No, I reckon the missus does it.
You reckon?
I bet it's all just a front, this.
I think you're probably
right. You know what I mean? I think he's going to go home when he's married to a missus and say, you sit down, love, put your feet up. I'll sort out this casserole. Easy, heck. He's going to get in their feet up. Hey!
Well, you think he's like
a tea?
Think he's like a painter and decorator who never painted their own house.
That's just right.
I've been cooking all day. Come on, girl, feed me. I fancy the idea of that. I fancy we should have a top 20 with the music and the build-up. And it would surprise me because I've never heard any of this show. Interesting.
What would be the number one?
The number one. Well, what are you aiming for? What defines a number one? Something humorous, something informative. Because let's be honest, this show covers the spectrum.
Well, absolutely. But end of the day, it's about the comedy. It's about what puts people.
We won't get 20. It's about the comedy. Can we just do a top five? We've got
after 2 years. We can't get 20. Oh, sorry, boss.
Yeah, but also, it's the definition of what's funny. We've just realised that your amusements are angry sprouts. doesn't come across in a live setting, particularly with an audience from Northern Ireland. So we don't know.
I hope there's no Irish judges on the Sony panel when we put that tape in. We're going for a gong next year, son.
Yeah.
It's going to change our lives.
We'll see. It will. We'll change our lives. We'll end up... What? Well, we'll get out the bunker more often.
I mean, there's still a spot on Radio 2 going.
Yeah.
It's going to be it, son. We could resign on air like Simon Bates.
Yeah.
You know.
Why did he resign on air, though?
Oh, that was when Radio 1 was going through its transition, wasn't it? Remember when it changed, they just got rid of all the old dinosaurs like DLT and Simon Bates and brought in the likes of Pete Togg, Danny Baker, people like that.
Went from strength to strength.
Yeah, I think it was Bates who resigned on her. It was either him or DLT and just said, I can't take these changes. I'm not made for this. I'm going. I can't believe what's going on. And just walked out the studio. Could be us, that.
DLT, remember him? The big hairy fella in cowboy boots.
He's on our sister station now.
Is he? Which one?
Conflate on Magic next door.
Is he?
Yeah, does a Saturday morning.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought he was great, him.
He still is great.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I used to think he was great. I'm not running down our sister station next door. Hey, there he is. Hello, DLT.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I was in yesterday.
Was he?
Yes.
Ah, fantastic.
There you go.
Well, that killed it a little bit, didn't it?
Yes.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway, Christmas. I tell you what, I'm just looking down. What people will see. If you ever come on the tours, and do come on the tours, because they're great, particularly on a day like this, though it's a bit wobbly today.
Great tour guide as well.
Yeah, great tour guide. You might recognise him. He's miserable and big.
He's funny and he's slim.
He's miserable and big. And he comes from Widnes. But if you come into the studios, you'll see that in the studios there's a screen which has got the four security cameras on. So you can see
now see a young lady by the name of Zoe.
Zoe's leaving now. But I was speaking to Mick downstairs, who looks after the building, how would you describe Mick to the rest of the world? He's like Gandalf, isn't he? He's different than Gandalf. He's more like one of the orcs. he basically protects the building, looks after us all. He's a top bloke. And I was talking to Mick before.
Gandalf.
Yeah. The wizard of radio security. And I was talking to Rich and Kyle before. To Mick and Kyle before. Mick sends me some great jokes. I've got. If he sent you, I'll text you. That you can't say it on air, but yeah, I'll text you.
What Mick's jokes are usually all about.
Yeah, no, the one he sent me yesterday was brilliant. In fact, I was with a load of comedians and showed it around. Everybody liked it. So, but he was telling me on these security cameras, this is just for our building. But he said yesterday, this is great, this. He said yesterday, they saw a cross where John Lewis used to be. Someone had left a suitcase. There was a suitcase there. Mick said, Mick and Kyle were looking at it for about half an hour and they thought, no one's been for that. So Mick got onto the security and said, listen, you know, there's a suitcase there across the road. He said he sent one of his mates to stand by it. So the suitcase been left there. So he said, this security fella comes through the shopping centre from Williamson Square or wherever he came from, went to where the briefcase is. Big briefcase, big suitcase. Picked it up, shook it. Considering the times in which we live, he picked this discarded suitcase up, shook it. Then says to Mick, then starts to proceed to walk through the shops. And Mick said, where are you going with it? He said, it's all right, it's not a bomb. He said, how do you know? He said, do you only ever leave them in rucksacks? Now, far be it from me to plant the seeds of doubt in anyone's mind. And certainly, I don't want to be accused of giving Al-Qaeda another big idea. But, you know, you can't turn around and say they only ever use rucksacks. You know, what if they had a master plan meeting in Al-Qaeda and said, listen, lads, this rucksack thing's not working. Why don't we leave a suitcase around? That'll fool them. Unbelievable.
We need to check that guy's references once more.
I think we need to, yeah. I think we need to. And the thing is, I could see in Mick's eyes, he was thinking, hey, that suitcase has been anywhere near my building, lad, and you'd have shucked it. I'd have shook you down the road.
I must admit, I am quite amused by the fact that Mick decided to sit and watch this suitcase for 30 minutes to see if it did explode or not.
Well, but what else are you going to do? You can't go home. Well, I mean, we know what to do now. If you do ever identify a package, particularly if it's not a rucksack, just shake it. That's the best thing you can do, apparently. That cures all evil.
Oh, my word. You couldn't make it up, could you?
No, you couldn't.
You couldn't make it up.
But the thing is, sometimes, I mean, it sounds terrible to say, but even just a small bomb, or a banger, just something so that when he's shook it, it went bang!
It's a bomb. It was a bomb.
I'd love to have been standing by him just going like that with a crisp packet. Bang! Hey, you're not that clever now in your big yellow jacket.
I like it.
Anyway, you listen, John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts. Should we have a breather? We're gonna need one.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
we've got a while to go yet.
I
know you like your last bit to be short and sweet.
Yeah, but how long have we got to go? How long have we got to go? And I tell you why, because I need to go.
I need to go.
If we were in a classroom now, right. I'd be putting my hand up saying, excuse me, sir,
right.
Can I go? And then you'd be saying, you've just come in off playtime, Bishop. Why didn't you go before? And okay. I'd be going, I don't know, sir. I didn't want to go before. And it was playtime. We can't do it in the playground.
So explain this scenario for me. You're on stage in front of 500 Irishmen. You've just insulted because of Sprouts.
700.
700. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't know whether they like croissants or not. You didn't go there. But let's face it, you've offended them.
Yeah.
What do you do? You got 20 minutes to go on stage.
Oh, turn it around. Turn the gig around.
How do you mean you turn it around?
Just turn it around. It's called professionalism, son.
I'm saying you want to go.
Oh, you mean you no, no? I thought you meant the what? Joke didn't work. What do you do?
No.
I think there's something. Obviously, that it's a physiological thing. I think your sphincter has greater elasticity when you're on a stage. Whereas now I'm relatively relaxed. I'm just having a chat with you, and now I feel like I'll do with a pee. Whereas if I'm on a stage, I've never ever been on a stage and thought, oh, I could really do. Although I do, there is the showbiz thing of making sure you go before you go on. Making sure you go before you go. Even if you don't want to, go before you go on.
Okay.
It's the worst thing. It's the worst thing that can possibly happen. However, I do have to confess to seeing a comedian once. This is true. This in Manchester. And it was brilliant because this lad turned up and he was an American lad and I've never seen him since. And he was a bit cocky and I think he was studying over. He wasn't like an established comedian. So I can't remember his name. But he was like an American preppy looking kind of kid, and he turned up and he's quite cocky in the dressing room. He was doing like an open spot, which is a free spot where you do about 10 minutes, and he'd obviously heard this thing that you go before you go on. Now he was dressed as an American preppy kid, so he had like a polo shirt on, and then he had a pair of chinos, and so he obviously went before he went on, but he had a pair of beige chinos on. Now, certain men, I think it's fair to say, you sometimes need to make sure you've shook before you leave the room. And he clearly hadn't done it well enough. So he stood on stage with a little bit of a damp patch. And I've got to be honest with you, that was the funniest thing of his whole act. And then you don't want to build a career on being able to wet yourself in public, but it was amusing.
You go do your...
I'll go, you finish...
sphincter. We'll just play a bit of Christmas music to the break. Yeah, keep
the Christmas music okay. Going. Can't we just have a potty? We don't have to stop.
I'll have a coffee when you wear down.
All right.
One sugar. I'll keep playing the music. It's not the same, is it, really? Just me here on my own. Nice music though. It's festive. City Talk 1 on 5.9, the voice of Liverpool, the John Bishop Show, live on the mighty Tower of Power. It's not like a DJ though, isn't it?
Hello.
Okay, we'll be back after the break.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
I'm loving that one. That's the best one. I like that little grooviness behind the scenes. You know the fella on that double bass is cool.
It's the kind of stuff they play in like malls, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
You went to see Santa. You know, let's see a £5 Santa. This is what you're going to hear.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. You listen to John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts. This is the final part of our Christmas special, our bonanza, which so far has been a little bit non-Christmassy or alphabet-y. And it has just been...
Not Christmassy, we've been playing Christmas.
Well, we have... No, to be fair, we did. Although I did think of when I nipped upstairs before, I did think... of a word related to Christmas beginning with the letter E, which was Evensong. Now, isn't Evensong just a Christmas thing? Because I haven't brought what I haven't brought. Carol gives that book with the 8,000 things, and I haven't brought it in.
Mm.
So I'm trying to, and we haven't got a dictionary. So To be honest with you, we're not very well equipped at all. I mean, I'm surprised we've got two microphones. We should be making this show on one of those cassette players. I mean, I'll be shouting at you to press the red and the black at the same time, and we should just be doing it in one of those little microphones on a stick like that. Have you found out? Were you typing in Evensong then?
Yeah.
And what does it come up with?
Nothing.
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 Well, let's assume it is a Christmassy thing. Evensong, I've always thought, is another word for like carol singers of an evening. It's Evensong. It's probably got nothing to do with that. You know, sometimes you can just see, you know, when you've got an idea in your head when you're five, and no matter how old you get, that idea doesn't grow up. And I remember thinking that when I was about five or six, Evensong must be evening. Eve songs in an evening, evening song, carol singers. And I've not developed any other intelligence with regard to that subject since then. I'm just stuck. There must be loads of things in my head that are still the same as when I was five.
Oh, my word. What's this one?
Oh! What was that?
It's Jingle Bells. I think it's Jingle Bells.
No way.
I think this is the B-side.
You know what? I mean, this has been made by professional musicians. Somebody somewhere has thought there's a market for this. Let's do Jingle Bells in a funky style.
It's not very good, is it?
It's awful.
Can I just play something?
Please play anything except that.
I've just seen something which I've just come across, which I'm dying to hear. Because it's just took my curiosity. Ah, it is.
What's that?
Do you remember in the early days, Radio City, when it was on air, and it was known as 194 Radio City?
Yeah.
You remember that?
When there was no points.
Yes, this is the original jingle that they played back in 1974. Do you want to have a listen?
Right, hang on, let's set it up properly.
Okay, go on. Right.
Pause it. Because if this is the original...
Pause it? You can't pause live radio, son.
Yeah, no, I mean pause the jingle.
Oh, sorry.
If this is, what, 1974?
74.
Right, let's just pause for a moment and remember that this jingle was made when Radio City was on 194, so there was no multitude of stations, so that had to be 194 point something or anything. It was just 194. It was on that FM broadband. FM broadband. No, broadband. Broadband didn't exist. FM band. Because that was the big thing then. Wasn't it going from medium wave to FM?
Well, this is on long wave, wasn't it?
Was this on long wave?
This is long wave.
This is
before we got on the big FM, son.
Oh, fella, give us some of that. This is on long wave.
Radio City. On 194.
Oh, that is radio heaven.
That's like Horlicks to your ears, isn't it? What do you think? Didn't that sound like Nice Fellas? Let's have a listen to the lads again.
One more time.
Radio City on 194.
You're going back to the days of Norman Thomas here.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're going back to the days of Norman Thomas and flares and big collars.
My word.
I say, you're a radio historian. Who else would have been on? Elton Wellesby was on the station
Elton
then as
Wells,
well.
Yeah, aye. Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile wasn't on Radio City, was he? No, but he was alive.
I think he did little bits, you know.
Do you think so?
I've heard he's done little bits. Keith Chegwin. Now, come on, look at that.
With Cheggers here.
What an inspiration for anyone. You could end up like Keith Chegwin.
Tell you what, and at that same time, the real thing were flying.
Cheggers plays pop. He did here.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Let's have it one last time.
Oh, all right, here we go.
One last time.
Radio City on 194.
Since that's come out, we've redeveloped the docks. We've got Liverpool 1. We've got a whole revitalisation of the
city.
I know. I'm just trying to think.
1974.
I know. I'm trying to think. 1974 We've been to, you know, we had riots. We've won European Cups. We've won FA Cups. Both sides have won the league. We've done tremendous things. We've moved forward. We've obviously got nowhere to park in the city. That's one thing that that was better. In 1974, you could park anywhere. It was easy. It was easy. You could come to Liverpool with a car and a caravan and park. Now you've got no chance. But when you think about it, that's how many years ago? That's 34 years ago.
Coming up to 30. Yeah, 30. Well, it is. 30, nearly 35, isn't it?
Flipping neck. I hate that. Why do you do stuff like that? It just makes me feel old.
Well, you are.
I'm not. I'm a young lad. Trapped in an old man's body.
Do you know what was a hit back in 1974?
Go on, tell us.
Go on.
What people need to know is in the studio, by the way, I'm one side of the desk. Kelvin's on the other side with all the buttons. Let's not pretend he's got more knowledge than me. He's just got access to the internet. Go on, astound me. Susie Quattro.
Susie Quattro. Talk about our name that tune in too. Have another listen.
My man, who's that? That's ABBA, of course.
1974.
This now one. Look at the Mamma Mia, the biggest film of the year.
So when you think about it, right, the DJ at the time would have done this.
Radio City.
Oh, I can't believe you just done this.
And now, pop pickers, here's ABBA.
No, he wouldn't have done. And I tell you why he wouldn't have done. Because you've got a digital setup here, so you've just pressed buttons to make you sound like a smooth DJ. He would have had to put one tape in and then lift the record arm onto a record to get the... before... And then he'd have been going, he's broke this bleeding needle! It's scratched! Abba's going on about Mama for 10 minutes.
Funny. That is funny.
What are you looking at now?
Nothing. I'm just seeing what else is in there.
You're just playing with the whole concept of 1974 being a time that's been and gone. Hey,
wasn't it?
It was great, mate. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. It lifted the spirits to know that sometime in the future, in 34 years' time, someone could be sat in fact, probably then Radio City won't be in a town. It'll probably just hover over the city.
That's right,
and they'll be going through the archives and say, hang on a minute, there was a show once called Alphabet Soup. Let's just hear a little bit. Yo, because by then, it probably won't be human beings that are running the station. We probably would have been invaded and it'll be people from the planet Zonko or something like that.
I think they're already here, but I love that some of them.
Yeah. And they would just be playing it. Listen to this. This is not a radio show. This is a social commentary by two blokes. You never know, lads. When we're long and gone, they'll know how good we were.
Right, letter E, word off before bimbo.
Let's have a very quick word off, beginning with the letter E. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
Okay. Who's going?
Where's the bell?
The bell's in the next studio. Oh, I'll have to just clap when I beat you.
All right.
Okay, ready? Yeah. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Go on then.
3, 2, 1. Evangelist.
Everything.
Everlasting.
Everton.
Echoes.
Eurythmics.
Eccles cake.
Euthanasia.
Euphoria.
Evergreen.
Oh, Europe.
England.
Earth.
Ecstatic.
Egg.
You're thinking ahead. You've been doing homework.
Come on,
you cheat.
1, 2.
Eat.
Houston.
Somebody went past the window.
Have a good Christmas.
All the best. Bimbo, enjoy your family. Bimbo, good night. God bless. I even know it's not night time. Yeah. Well, it might be night. They're listening to it next Saturday.
Ridiculous.
Whatever. Have a good break.
You're going down the road to see a little girly o. Bimbo is a little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him. clap his hands, sing and dance, and talk his baby talk. With the hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, we oh? Bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, we oh? Bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh?